Welcome to another episode of The Silly with the Hooligans. It's Mitch. Matthew Bird is on the couch.
I am.
He's no guest. He's a host. Bradley.
Hello.
How are you guys?
All right.
You know what? We had a win. Not really, but it was a win.
Moral.
In the positive, yes.
It was a positive result. Positive performance.
So
it was everything that the Bethlehem game was not.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. It was 110% effort from the guys. It was a team effort. Like, they're, you know, you saw them working together.
It was not disappointing. I mean, the end result may have been a little disappointing, but everybody was in the game. The players were in the game till the very end. You know, you talked about the Bethlehem game, them dicking around at the back in the last 5 minutes. Up to the end of the game, this team was pushing, trying to score, going towards goal.
You even saw the players, I forget who it was that was on our wing, but turn and give the, you know, pump up the crowd thing to us, which we haven't really, not shorting the players, but, you know, we haven't really seen that just because there hasn't been that level of intensity in the entire stadium for many games.
Yeah, no, I mean, quite simply, that they were into that game. They were up for it, and there's no question that if they play that way, they will be a much better team.
Absolutely. And that's what I want to see on Saturday. Saturday is the, I think it's the marker game for the season. You know, if we come out fighting like that, we're in for a chance, and it'll stand us in good stead going forward. If we come out like we did in the second half against Bethlehem, then it's just, we have to really consider the fact that it may not happen this year again.
We're about five games from the midway point. And I'd hate to say that something at this point is that marker, but it is.
That Chicago game has the potential to be the turning point for the season. If that woke them up and that made them realize that they can play, I mean, that game they played toe-to-toe with an MLS team and a good MLS team.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying they had their best day, but
they were missing three of their starters, I think I saw.
But there were quality players out there, and they went toe-to-toe with them.
And let's be honest, that goal,
it was a wonderful strike. I mean,
you take that goal out of it, and they're going into overtime.
Yeah, they weren't getting anything else out of that game.
No, they weren't. Neither team. I mean, neither team was giving an inch, and other than a fluke goal.
And
don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
There's some skill to
some
it.
Some people were saying, what a lucky goal. Kid knew what he was doing.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
I mean, yes, he may not be able to do it again.
You give him 50 you give him 50 of those balls, maybe two or three.
Yeah, that's pretty much what Preki said in the post-game conference. Yeah. But he knew what he was doing, and he executed it.
Chicago Fire came off that field knowing they'd been in a battle.
Yes.
Damn right they did.
And
so if we can play that way against the Chicago Fire, there's no excuse to lose to Charlotte. There's no excuse to tie to Orlando City B.
There's no excuse to go down to Bethlehem at home.
That game should have woken them up and should make them realize we need to play this way. And if we do, we can make some damage in this table for the second half of the season.
I agree. And my only concern is that, and we'll get to this, I guess, with the whole bye week situation, is that any mojo we had from last Wednesday, it's been 10 days to the next league game, and any mojo that we had may have dissipated.
Yeah, I do definitely want to come back to that in a little bit, because the schedule is not doing us any favors. However, that being said, when you have a big game against Cincinnati coming off that, you know, and that's the other thing. You had a bye weekend, which is never helpful, you know, coming off of that. But when your next game is this important against a team that previously had smacked you around 4-0, 8-0, or 200-0, whatever it was.
And you're going back in, and they're going to have a big crowd. They're going to have 15,000 people or whatever they end up with.
You're going into the beast of the belly. It's time to go.
The beast of the belly?
Yeah.
Or the belly of the beast?
Yes, the beast of the belly. Bitey.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's there. This is the weekend to step up and prove to us. If, like Matt said, if they come out and they perform like they did in the second half of that Bethlehem game, then I think I'm officially saying we're not good enough.
Yeah.
But that's what's so disappointing, and I mean, we'll get to it in the questions. That was like the first five questions we got. How is it the same team? How can they be magnificent in stretches and then just woeful in other stretches.
Because we play up to our competition.
And down.
Yeah, if we play a really good team, we'll psych ourselves up for it and get after it.
And I think the scary thing about that is it's very similar to the way we played the first two seasons of this team.
And it's
a new coach. It's a new system. But we still do that. We still, you know, I don't know what the mentality is and why it's hovering over our locker room.
Maybe it's something in the water.
Maybe.
Fluoride and mediocrity.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it.
But at this point, what else? I mean, considering that there was a, you know, wholesale line change.
Yeah. But if they come out and they make a statement in Cincinnati, then I think we've announced to the rest of the league that we're ready.
It is, and again, it doesn't have to be a win.
No, just a solid performance in a hostile environment.
I honestly, we walk out of there with a draw, I will be pleased as punch.
Yeah.
I mean, a draw on that, you know, if worst case scenario, we lose 2-1 because we're pressing in the last 10 minutes to try to, you know, equal or to get something.
Just don't be lazy.
Like that.
Just don't be, you know, lethargic out there. Yeah.
Effortless.
Yeah. Don't be apathetic.
We've only won one away game all year.
That's true.
You know, Open Cup aside, we've only won one league game this year, and I was expecting a little more in that regard.
And I think we're set up to do it now. I really do. After seeing them play Chicago, I'm convinced that this team is better than they've shown, and
I think they know
they're
it.
Ready.
I think they know it. I think that is the one difference between the past 2 years compared to this year is that we've said all along these guys are professionals. They know they have a job to do. They know what they're there and how to go about it. I think they lost sight of it.
And we heard Preki unloaded on him after that Bethlehem game.
And
which
before
he'd been measured, he'd been calm. You know, yes, things are taking a while to click. And, you know, we kind of gave him that time to get things in order. But after that Bethlehem game, there was no mistake. He was livid.
Everyone involved with the club should have been livid.
Right.
Mean, absolutely.
But maybe Preki had been, you know, kind of observing up to that point and said, enough's enough. Knock it the fuck off. And maybe he woke them up.
And you know, I think when you hear that he
pulled a guy in from a press conference.
Yeah. And not only that, but when he did it to a point where everybody in the room took notice,
right.
It wasn't a, hey, come on, we need to go have a team meeting.
Yeah, it wasn't a quiet word in his ear.
It was basically a get the fuck in there kind of thing. You know, that's, we want that fire. We do want that fire, but it's got to translate to production. And that's going to be on these guys this Saturday. Not Sunday, Saturday.
All right, let's cover a few business points, and then we can get back to talking about the games. This last week's charity du jour, we did it something a little different. Matt's suggestion, we did for the Open Cup. We raised $332.
The opencup.us.
Opencup.us.
Not for the U.S. soccer.
Right,
they've
right.
got enough surplus right. laying around.
This is for the independent group of guys that do all the coverage on Twitter and on Facebook. And they mostly, I like the history stuff they do.
Uh-huh.
They keep us updated on all the games. $332, we donated to them. The guy that runs that, Josh, he sent us a very nice message thanking us and saying, you know, our donation basically is going to help them get through the rest of 2017. So hopefully other people will see that and will also donate because very worthy cause. The next charity du jour for the next home game, this is the rescheduled Rochester Rhinos game. That's going to be for CJ's Journey. It's a local charity that provides money.
Baywatch? Yes. CJ on Baywatch?
Yes. This is for childhood cancer. They do money for research. They also do money to support families who are going through childhood cancer. And to contribute to that effort, our friend Matt Bird talked to Drew Connor after the Chicago game, and he got Drew Connor's game-worn jersey. So
one of two game-worn jerseys,
well, yeah.
as Bird came to find out.
But Matt Bird has kindly offered that. Is going to go to the first person that puts $100 into the charity du jour bucket. So,
well, they have to come find me first.
Right.
So I want to verify it.
Right.
I don't want just any old schmo coming, hey, I gave $100.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But I'll be stood there anyway. So
if if you want Connor Drew's game-worn Chicago.
Connor Drew.
Drew Connors.
Jimmy Connors.
Yeah. Drew Connors game-worn Chicago Fire jersey that he wore in the Open Cup game against us. That is available. Mr. Matt Bird also bought some fancy wristbands. I'm wearing one here.
Wristbands.
Wristbands. Everybody loves wristbands. These are the rubber, like the
Livestrong. Silicone things, yeah.
You know, you all saw the yellow ones for Livestrong until he was outed as a cheater. We've got green ones, and they say St. Luligans, and they have a nice little skull on them. And those will be available for a donation to Charity du Jour. So if you want one of those wristbands, come and donate at least $1. No quarters, dickheads.
Oh, my God. Okay, you know what? I'm going to interrupt the news for all this right. moment.
All right.
When Brad told me that somebody asked about having extra tickets to the Wednesday Cup game, as we often do.
The U.S. Open Cup game.
People often have extra tickets and put them in the bucket. These are extra tickets that somebody has actually paid for. Mm-hmm. These aren't the ones that come in your season ticket pack. This isn't my boss bought six tickets, has right. a 60. These are ones that you had to actually shell out your money for to purchase.
And they kindly donated them to us.
In order to raise money for the charity.
Right.
And this individual, who will remain nameless because I don't know his name, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're a punk, comes up and says, hey, I messaged you about them to Brad. And tried to pay $3.
I don't know if it was $3. It was a stack of change.
It was a stack of change for three tickets?
I don't know what he wanted, two or three, yeah. It was. I just told him take the tickets and just bring adult money next time. I mean, it's hard enough for me to do the, add it all together and go deposit it and then make the donation.
You don't want to be rolling quarters.
I am not
well.
Rolling change. Fuck
plain
off.
Plain and simple, if you do not have the courtesy to at least behave like an adult when asking for something free from us, come find me. I want to have a talk with you out in the woods.
It was pretty
because
bush league.
That is the shittiest thing I have heard any of our fans do in quite some time. Yeah. And we have some deplorable people.
In quite some time. I was going to say, I always heard worse.
Yeah, I always find like a handful of pennies at the bottom of the charity du jour bucket. But,
and I understand,
but
like, somebody just pulls out like a wad of cash right, and get out of their right. pocket. Like, this I put like 10 bucks in there.
This was just insulting. Like, oh, you have those free tickets? Here's some quarters.
Yeah, at that point in time.
What am I going to do, laundry? Fuck off.
I mean, that is the shittiest shit that's ever shit.
That's right. That guy should come back and donate paper money.
Twice the amount.
Folding green.
You know what? In fact, if it gets pointed out to me, I'm going to hang him to give us actual paper cash.
Anyway, next time.
Assholes.
Come to a game and give with a generous heart, just not change.
Yeah. The only way I want you giving change to us is if it's like a gold coin from the Roman era that we can sell for hundreds of dollars.
I don't even want to deal with that because then I got to track down a buyer and do the conversion and fuck that.
That's just better than quarters.
Yeah, paper money, please.
From our country. We have gotten
good point.
We have gotten money from Zimbabwe or something like that in the bucket before.
The other thing about the game, we had the soccer tour extended his stay, Steve Berlusconi, and he had some fun. It was nice for him to see what the Luligans do at full tilt versus the anemic Saturday performance.
Yeah, he got full strength, not lightweight. Yeah.
Jim and Tom also came by the tailgate. Always good when the owners come by and, and share a beer. And They bought T-shirts. They bought scarves. They were, loading up.
And worth mentioning, they had previously, sometime prior, scheduled for 900 Worldwide Technologies management positions to be in town and downtown of all places, not in the St. Louis County, but they were spending money downtown.
That's right.
With 900 employees, and they had originally said, okay, well, we're going to rent out Ballpark Village for the night, just to have our post meetings, drinks and stuff like that. Those guys left that to come out to the tailgate to shake hands and, wish everybody luck. then hustled their asses back down.
Well, no, they watched the first half.
The first half, yes.
And then Tom said they were supposed to leave at halftime, but they stuck around a little more because Tom was feeling it. He thought this might be our night, and they put it off as long as they could, but they finally had to go back and rejoin their 1,000 guests.
Who were watching on the giant projector screen at Ballpark Village. Yeah. So that's pretty awesome.
And he said there were several people that were at this event that are soccer fans and were like, can we just go to the game? And Tom was like, oh, we sold out. there was no more room in the end. So,
speaking and that stadium, let's not kid ourselves, that stadium was rocking.
Oh, my God.
If Valeski's shot off the bar had gone in, or even Angelo's when he took it around the keeper in
his
the first
header,
half.
That, and the second half header, I thought that was it.
They
yeah.
did have to replace the bleachers again. Yeah. The stadium would have erupted.
Wonderful night. The whole atmosphere, the whole stadium, standing and joining in and chanting and clapping, it was magical.
And when that cool breeze kicked in,
that was bizarre, wasn't it?
That was,
yeah. But that wasn't a breeze. That was a tempest.
Yeah, that was the prelude to a tornado that I thought. But
the thing was, is that as soon as that happened, you felt the mood kind of go up even another notch.
Well, yeah, because we were all like cooled off and could breathe again. Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the strangest things I've ever seen.
But yeah, it was. I guess it was around the 70th minute. Our guys were, you know, at a dead ball. We're trying to get the crowd up, and the Luligans got a little louder. And then I saw the other section standing up and making noise. And I mean, that's what we want. We want that atmosphere. I get, you know, Section 5 isn't going to stand the whole game. I get that, but at moments in the game when it's needs a little volume, needs a little passion, it's nice when they join in, and it really makes a big difference in the overall atmosphere.
Unbelievable. I'm almost glad we didn't win just for the melee that would have happened if we did, because there's no way those poor security guards would have kept us off the field.
No, and somebody said something about, well, will the league fine us again? And I just responded, it's not a league game. So.
And you know what? If they did,
yeah.
Next charity du jour, that's right. Pay the league fine.
The thing is, right, we're not going to win the U.S. Open Cup.
No.
You know, so really, all things considered, a goal would have been nice, but Wednesday was perfect.
Absolutely.
As you say, the performance was outstanding.
And it's very reminiscent.
The atmosphere was outstanding.
Kudos to the staff for managing that many people.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know,
it was standing room only, so they had to keep, you know, walkways clear, and
we had people in our aisles.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it was overflowing everywhere that you went, but the staff was on point that day. They really kicked it up a notch.
Very reminiscent of our game in Kansas City 2 years ago, which was 2 years ago yesterday, I believe.
Yes,
was. Another, you know, 1-0 game where our team went toe to toe with the big boys. I mean, you know, I can't ask for anything more, really, out of the team for that game. And like you said, I mean, we all said it last podcast, having our rathers, I'd rather have 3 points against Bethlehem, you know, than a win against Chicago. But it is nice when you represent well. It would have been nice if we'd have got the win and gone on. That would have been good publicity. But then we'd be headed to Cincinnati, and you're already doing that next week. So.
Yeah.
Also, kudos to our drummers and capos, keeping it going the whole time.
But you know what I was thinking, right? You know what I was thinking? If Columbus had beat Cincinnati and we'd have beat Chicago, we could have gone camping at Crew Stadium. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yes, we would have. But back to it.
Anyway.
The capos and drummers, unbelievable work as always. Added in a new song with Aha's Take on Me.
Yeah, and again, another challenging night for those guys, because there's a lot of new people and a lot of new people trying to do different things.
Yep.
And the capos, you know, again, kept it together.
It's stressful, and I know it is, and they don't get enough credit sometimes.
And they disagree sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, you get two capos that try to do two different things because they're not watching each other.
We saw that at the end of the game, and it ended up being a little bit of a struggle, but, you know.
Everything was fine, but they do a great job.
Yeah, it was an amazing environment. We are there to do one thing and one thing only, and that's bring the ruckus and raise the level. And, yep, we did that.
Drummers had a few guests with them, and everybody filled in and didn't miss a beat. And it was pandemonium for 90 minutes, and that's what we love.
God, it was awesome.
A couple other notes. Josh Sargent was recognized by the team before the game.
How about that, getting a scarf and coming over to the corner?
Yeah, the team gave him a jersey, and Jeremy had gotten a scarf from us, and he came over and held up the Luligan scarf, and that was kind of nice. Tim Ream was also there. He had a Luligan scarf, and they had some pictures taken with, you know, various kids up there on the other side, so that was great. The TIFO, want to give huge thanks to the guys that worked on that, put it together. They basically did 10 banners, one for each St. Louis champion of the U.S. Open Cup.
They looked amazing.
They looked really good. They came in, marched them in on two poles, and they took them down and spread them out throughout the stadium for the game. I think they did a really good job.
I saw Jim Leaker on Friday, and he was overwhelming in his praise for that. He just thought it was the best thing ever. Apparently, he was sat next to Kathy Kudis when they did that, when they walked in and all stood there by the goal line, and he said that she had a bit of a tear in her eye. You know, I mean, I think it shows that people still care. People give a damn.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, and you know, we've talked about that before. You know, there's this sense of everything happened in the past, and St. Louis likes to dwell there, and we like to talk about the future and the present, but we do have a healthy respect for
correct
what came, and we're adding to that legacy.
I do think that's something that a lot of the old timers don't quite get sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes they think we're irreverent, but we really do appreciate what they built.
And seeing those banners represent what they've all done, it was unbelievable. They looked
from the 1920s all the way up to the late 80s.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing substance of history. It was so cool to see. I know they've, you know, I can't, somebody said something about doing something with them afterwards, and I was like, absolutely not. We're doing this for every Open Cup.
Oh, yeah, they'll be saved and they'll be reused. The Hall of Fame posted pictures of them on their Facebook page, and they said something about maybe getting them down there for their annual banquet, which might be kind of cool to let them borrow them, you know, for that evening. But those will be used again. You know,
major credit though to Stuart and Sarah and the Carrickers and Derek and everybody except for Karen, because she was standing around the whole time.
Karen
works her butt off, but you know, I mean, it was a super hot day of painting, and I was up there for a little bit longer than I should have been, but it was uncomfortable to get it done. But they got a ridiculous
Stuart and Derek
done.
You know, pretty much organized everything, and they were the ones that got them all zip tied to poles, and
you and Petrillo painting the outlines. And
you,
I didn't.
Well, your wife.
Yeah, I'm smarter than you.
But no, it was a good time, and they're already talking about the TIFO for not the upcoming game, but a game's coming soon. So
it's a good concept. I like it.
So yeah, if you're interested in joining for a paint party or something, watch the page, and we will announce when those will be.
Yeah, and if it is something that you can help out with, please do. Because the more people, it gets done a lot quicker. Once we had enough people working on it that Saturday, it got done very quickly.
That and just the fact that when you see it there at the stadium, you can take a little bit of pride that you did that. You know, all the people that walked them in, I know Matt walked them in. You know, they can take a little bit of pride that, you know, hey, I was a part of that display, and we appreciate the work. Big news this week, Eric Cavalcetta had a baby girl.
Congrats.
Giada, I think is how you pronounce it. We will hopefully be seeing her down at the park, and we're going to give her a little special gift that we, you know, if you're a player and you have a baby, that is part of your contract. You get a bonus from the St. Luligans. It's a little talked about, but
it's not a college fund.
If you're on the edge, if you're thinking about having kids, go ahead. We'll give you
a little something extra in there for you.
It's retail value $11.99. So
we're generous, some bitches.
Something to think about.
Maybe we should make sure Jeremy puts that in the contract.
We should. Social media plugs. Want to give it up to Sarah Robertson, Khaleesi. If you've been to the merch table, the platinum blonde beauty that helps me sling shirts and scarves. She runs our Instagram page, and she has crossed the 3,000 followers mark today. So
amazing work.
Major props. We are only 300 behind Tower Bridge Battalion, and that is the only social media category that we are falling behind in. So you know what to do. If you have an Instagram account, please go to at St. Luligans on Instagram and follow us.
And she does great work, too, just for the simple fact of almost all of its original content. She's not copying somebody else's content and reposting it or anything like that.
And she does really cool, like, videos, little GIFs and things. So, yes, if you're thinking, well, I already follow you on Twitter or Facebook, she does stuff that I don't do that is entertaining. So please follow on Instagram. Also follow This Is Silly Pod. We don't have enough followers. You need to follow us on Twitter.
And we often give special things away through that account too as well that That's we don't right. through the other accounts. So you might want to get on that just to try to get some free shit.
Saturday there will be a watch party. We know a lot of you are going to Cincinnati. My friend Matt Bird is going to Cincinnati.
I can't not. If there's a drivable game, I'm going to go.
But if you can't make the drive all the way to Cincinnati, make the drive to Soulard. We're going to be at ITAP watching the game. It will be a Channel 11 game. So, you know, if you're stuck at the mother-in-law's house for dinner or something, you can just flip it on Channel 11. You don't have to track it down on YouTube. So watch the game. And the last thing I wanted to say was last week's pod had a huge number of downloads. In fact, the numbers are almost work out perfectly that I think everybody who was disappointed with that Bethlehem game came home, downloaded the pod, and let, you know, their frustrations out with us.
What it is because I plugged it in the match day program.
That's what it is. And it's also true that, as Matt always says, the pod is better when the team is awful.
that seems to be consistent.
That's why today's shit.
today's podcast probably won't have as many downloads, but thank you all that downloaded the last episode. One of the biggest downloads in the history of our pod. Since Mitch got that thing corrected where all the Myanmar people aren't downloading it anymore. Actual numbers, it was impressive. And I think we did actually beat the attendance total for that Bethlehem game. I think we did. I'm not kidding.
Hopefully we saved some therapy.
What was the attendance for the Bethlehem game? I don't even know.
Paid attendance was 4,400, I believe.
Yeah, so
we didn't quite.
Yeah,
but I mean, it was roasting.
Yes.
And I think a couple of people thought, you know.
Yeah, you can listen to this on the air-conditioned car.
That's right.
So anyway, do we have anything more to talk about the Chicago game?
I just hope that it carries over.
It was just the effort. I mean,
yeah,
they were doing things. They were pressing. It was that Preki style.
And they were as soon as they got the ball, they turned and went to goal, yes. Which is, you know, what I was looking for. I was really impressed with Bjerman again. I was really impressed with Elmer, blah, 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 Brzezovic. And, yep. You know, as you say, just show me that again.
Yep.
Show me that again. And I was speaking to Valeski after the game, and he was like, we're dying to get back into the league. You know, after Sunday, he said, yeah. Sunday was rough. Tonight was good, but we want to play in the league again. And I hope that having the bye doesn't dissipate that. I hope they're still chomping at the bit to right the wrongs of the Bethlehem game.
Yeah, I think that's key.
You know what, let's go ahead at this point then and transition to the bye.
Okay.
Because this is something that Matt and I were talking before you got here while we were getting ready, because this is something I put some effort into today. A little bit of effort, not a lot, because preparation is for other podcasts.
Preparation is for hemorrhoids.
So we had a home game on 4-8, April 8th, against New York Red Bulls 2. 97 days later, we will play Charleston on the 15th of July. 97 days, there's only 4 home games during that time. That is
one of them was rescheduled.
Yes. So it was.
That doesn't take into account the Open Cup game, obviously.
Right, because we can't count that. But 4 home games in 97 days. Then come back to August. 4 home games in 18 days. This is a serious, serious imbalance that is hurting this team. And I will put money on it that a huge part of it is because we own our stadium, that we have a flexibility that, let's say, Louisville or Tulsa may not have because they're playing in a baseball stadium and share it with somebody else. But
yeah,
when you have 4 home games in 97 days, how the hell do you sell tickets for that team? Now, obviously, if they're struggling, it's a good thing. People will forget, you know, but, you know, when you have four home games in 97 days and you have something that happens like last Wednesday and then you have a bye week and then they're on the road.
You know, I think this league is always going to have a problem scheduling when you have teams like Tulsa, teams like Louisville, who are sharing their stadiums with another team. And that creates, it's not like, you know, St. Louis, they can say, St. Louis has every Saturday.
Except for three, we'll just say.
Right. You know, Cincinnati, they share a stadium with the college, but the college football season doesn't really overlap.
They may have other events, concerts, other sporting events, what have you.
But you have several teams that share their stadium with another pro team, lacrosse or baseball or whatever. So then you get situations like, you know, Tulsa plays a lot of games on Thursday nights instead of Saturday nights.
And that's fine.
Yeah, but it fucks the schedule up.
But you know what? I'll even say, okay, you're playing on a Wednesday or Thursday instead of a Saturday.
It fucks the schedule up.
It absolutely does. However, four games in 97 days.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is all these teams, it's not just Tulsa. It's not just Louisville.
Absolutely.
And you have to start making arrangements to accommodate, okay, they can't have a Saturday night. Well, then that throws off the team that played them the week before and the team that plays them the week after.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I don't think these schedule things will be taken care of until every team in the league has a dedicated stadium that they are the primary tenant of.
Four games in 100 days.
I'm just saying.
Well,
it's hard to do.
You know what? I'll give you that to an extent, but to that kind of range, I will not. And again, yes, there's a big part of it that, yes, we have our own stadium and we can do whatever, and that we end up being a little more considerate towards those teams. So, yes, we're going to get screwed a little bit. But then to have four games in 100 days and then four games in 18 days.
So also four games in the nicest part of the season. You know, we're going to get four home games in 18 days in August, man.
Right.
It's going to be ball sweat hot.
Yeah.
You know, if we had more of those games towards the beginning and end of the season, you'd be out sell a lot more tickets, I think, some of those games because it'd be nicer.
Or even, you know, we'll just look at this, you know, June has been atypically lower temperature up until recently.
Mm-hmm.
Or the end of May and June, usually it kind of kicks up a little bit. It's been atypically nicer than it has.
I don't know. A couple Sundays ago, it sucked.
Yes. But in general, you can tolerate this at 7 o'clock on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Like right now, you know, we were just outside before getting started. It's not bad out.
Yeah.
It's not great, but it's not bad out. You can tolerate it. You know, four games in 18 days in August, that's going to suck.
Yeah, and I mean, it also reflects in places like, you know, Phoenix is another team that kind of got backed up in their schedule, and they're going to have some hot fucking days ahead.
Well, they front-loaded that schedule. They've only played three away games so far this year. But did you see Phoenix, the temperatures this week?
120 degrees.
The one guy responded to you. They grounded fucking planes because it was too hot to fly.
The tarmac is too hot for the tires.
Planes were stuck to
them.
That's
mental.
And, you know, and again,
I think having the World Cup in Qatar is a brilliant idea.
But, you know, and when I look at this, too, that August run, Swope, Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh, Tulsa. You know, having Swope and Tampa Bay in there, that's not easy. You've got two good teams out of those four.
Playing Cincinnati three times?
And
twice away?
Mind you, when I say that we have those four, I said, what, four in 18 days? That's four home games because there's a road game at Tulsa on a Thursday night in there. So you've got five games in 18 days, one on the road, four at home. That ain't easy, man. That's horrible. It's going
to I know the USL had tinkered with the schedule this year to try to get rid of some of those Wednesday games. You know, they expanded the season a couple of weeks to hopefully spread it out a little bit. It's going to take some more tinkering, and I think part of it is growing pains. You know, they added a few teams this year. They're going to add a few teams next year. And hopefully with the Central Conference.
That really has to be the solution to this.
It will help with some travel issues, and it will help, you know, facilitate a little easier schedule. But I think until the league is stable, done expanding, and like I said, more teams have their own dedicated environment, it's going to be a little rough.
And again, it's just it's.
And
so
don't
difficult.
Forget, don't forget, this season they basically had the schedule done, and they had to stop everything because
of Tampa Bay and Ottawa coming in.
Well, and there was a potential that the rest of the NASL was going to come in. So when they finally got the go-ahead and they figured out exactly how many teams were going to be in this league, they didn't have very long to put it together. So, yes, I agree. It's shitty. It sucks. But it is what it is. It's minor league sports in America.
Now, I will say is that in those 18 in that 18-day run, if we're running like we did against Chicago, if we're playing to our potential, that could be the best 5-game run of any team possible.
Yeah, Matt mentioned it earlier, momentum. Yeah, as long as you're in a good momentum,
exactly.
Everything's fine. But, yeah, if you hit a slump and you hit all those games in a row.
That's something I want to see. I mean, Real Monarchs are on a 9-game winning streak right now. Mm-hmm. We've never had that. We've never had a
What's our biggest, 3?
Something like that, yeah.
Have we had 3? I don't know. I don't think so.
But yeah, let's see that. Even Richmond last year went on an 8-game winning streak. Yeah. Yo, let's go do that.
Yep.
Let's go do that. And then
we've had a 12-game non-winning streak.
We had a streak.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's do the opposite of that. Let's rip off a few here in a row.
You know, and
all for that.
I mean, you don't know what's going to happen on Saturday. You can sit here and go, you know what, we've got a chance. We can go there and do it, and then we can have a play sent off after 5 minutes, and it all go to hell. But honestly, Saturday is key. It really is key.
You know, and I think it's time to. I talked about before. We need to sort of, you know, reevaluate where we are in the league, and I meant that last week in terms of, you know, are we going to be a 10,000 seat mm-hmm. stadium full team, or are we going to be a 5,000 seat stadium full team? We also might have to look at our objectives at the beginning of this season. You know, Preki, Jeremy, those guys, they all said, you know, the goal was playoffs. You have to make the playoffs, and then, you know, you see what happens. And I was kind of on board with that. Look, we've never made the playoffs. If this team makes the playoffs, it's a success. I'm looking at it now, and I don't think that's enough because we've gone down. And at this point, if we climb back up and we barely make the playoffs, I don't think that's enough. I think we need to
go in strong.
We need to qualify for the playoffs, not back in.
Not last day.
Right.
Yeah, when I was driving home from Michigan, you guys did the halftime podcast that I tapped.
Right.
And Pat Barry asked you, where does this team finish? And 5th. I'm telling you now, we should be 5th minimum.
And we should make a statement in the playoffs. I'm not saying we have to get to the conference finals.
I want at least a win or two wins.
I don't want to barely qualify and get mm-hmm. tonked in the opening game. To me, you know, look, I said, you know, there's a bare minimum this team has to make. I had adjusted low, but it's gone lower than I thought we would be at this point.
Yeah.
For the talent that we brought in and for the coach that we brought in, I think we really have to step it up and make a statement.
And let's be honest, too. We started off tying the first game, won 3 in a row,
right,
which is our longest winning streak as a franchise.
There you go.
We lost at Cincinnati 4-0, then 2-1, and then tied. And we've never really gotten back on that horse.
Right. And throw out the Toronto win and the Wichita and Michigan wins. I mean, none of those are anything to brag about.
Correct.
When you're looking at 4 games winless, I'm sorry, 5 games winless in between that,
yeah,
you know, between Toronto and that last win at Pittsburgh,
yeah,
that's a problem.
So now if we turn it back up and we go strong into the playoffs, then I'm okay.
And again, nobody is expecting this team to win every game.
No,
that
and I and
never
I'm,
been the focus.
And I'm not saying we have to win the playoffs or the championship.
I'm not even wanting us to win Saturday.
But we need to go in strong.
We need to compete Saturday and turn it up from there.
And if I want teams to, A, if we get to host the game, I want teams to be coming here scared to death.
Right.
And I want to, if
the atmosphere that we put out Wednesday night in the Fire game, with all of those new people there and all of the old regulars on the other side of the stadium making noise, that's the kind of environment that I want a Charlotte to come into
mm-hmm.
and feel it. You know what I mean?
But I mean, seriously, who, which teams do you think are better than us in this league right now in the Eastern Conference? You've got Charleston, Tampa Bay, Louisville, Cincinnati are going to be there or thereabouts.
Right.
And I think Ottawa and maybe Rochester. That's that's.
I think we're on that level.
I think we're in the Rochester Ottawa ballpark.
I do too.
But
I think legitimately Tampa, Charleston, and Louisville are a step ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
But we should be in that next conversation.
I totally agree. I think fifth. I think we're fifth. And we should be able to finish fifth in this league.
And us losing to the Independents should be embarrassing. Us losing to Bethlehem should be embarrassing. Not to me.
Mind you, Bethlehem's in fourth now.
Yeah, but they're not that good.
No.
It shouldn't be embarrassing to us as fans. It should be embarrassing to the players.
Yes. And I think it was. I think it was.
I think they need to put that on their shoulder. Come out and play like you're the fifth best team in the league. You know?
We haven't
play seen, like you believe you could beat the best team on any given day.
We haven't seen that swagger in a while.
And they had it Wednesday night against the Fire.
Yes. There's no question.
And they were lippy to the Chicago Fire players.
There was no giving them an
they
inch.
Were there to prove that, hey, we are just right there to take your jobs if you guys falter.
And you need to be that with these other teams, right, too. You know, fuck you. This is who we are.
And you know what? That's the way Connor Drew was when he was here.
Drew Connor.
When he was a player here, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When he was on the field for us in the midfield making things happen, he came down from the Fire and was bound and determined to prove that he didn't belong here.
Yeah.
Right. And when he got back up there, he didn't miss a beat. You know, every time they called him, he played, and he's been playing.
Oh, he's killing it. And the kid is killing it right now.
But that's the way these guys should all feel like, you know, I am one coin flip from being starter in the MLS.
Yeah.
Because they really are. And, I mean, not every one of them, but a lot of these guys could be playing at that level, and they should be playing like that every fucking week so that when the Chicago Fire is watching or when Minnesota United is looking for somebody to help fill some depth at, you know, a position, this is your opportunity.
But here's the thing. Next week, we're going to go up against Aiden Quinn, for example.
Right.
And he is on big money at Cincinnati.
Right.
Dragan Stojkov needs to get after Aiden Quinn and go, next year, I'm going to take your job.
Exactly. And I'm
going to be getting your pay packet.
Exactly.
You know?
No, they should. They should. You know, I'm never going to belittle a guy for wanting to better himself.
Oh, no, I agree.
And just like Chad Bond left Tulsa to come here for more money,
mm-hmm,
all of these guys should be, if I work my ass off, then the New York Cosmos may come calling like they did for Irvin Herrera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of them should be. And they need to realize you're in a shop window at all times. So it's not for me. Yes, you should be out there fighting on the field for me because I'm, you know, yelling and paying my $17 and sweating.
But
do it for yourself.
And let's talk about Cincinnati right now, right? Because they've drawn their last four games.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from beating Columbus.
Loss and two draws.
I think they've drawn their last four home games.
Oh, man, that sounds...
And you know what? And I mentioned the likes of Aiden Quinn and Danny Koenig, and this is the most they're ever going to earn.
Yeah.
This contract is the most they're ever going to earn because they're the biggest team with the biggest pockets in this league, and I think they've there's no motivation there for them, and
frankly, I'm surprised because I thought Koch or however you pronounce his name, I thought he was a better coach than John Harkes. Things just aren't.
But you saw it when they played Columbus. There was a motivation there to get to the next level.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, I think the players at Cincinnati
think they've got their bellies full a little bit.
Yeah, I think they do. I think, I hope it plays to our advantage a little, and I also hope it plays to our advantage that 3-4 days after playing us, that they're playing the Fire in the next round, and they're going to have their eye off the ball.
It's got to be in the back of their minds.
You think so?
Yeah.
And you know what? That may have been in the back of their minds of our guys against Bethlehem.
Could have been.
Don't get injured.
Could have been.
Don't get injured because then you won't play against the Fire, you know?
Could have been. But, yeah, it goes back to you take care of business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can think about the future as long as you're handling right now.
Well, the best way to ensure there is a future is to handle right now.
Right. All right. Do we want to get to a few questions?
Sure, why not?
Also, just apropos of nothing, just because we were talking about Cincinnati, how quickly has Troll Boy in Cincinnati shut the fuck up?
Oh, man.
He is absolutely dead set against any public money for a stadium. Fuck
he
you.
He went back so quick and deleted tweets.
It's the same. It's basically the same deal now that St. Louis had.
Except for it's $40 million more because they're trying to overcome $100 million.
They're talking about, their guys are all saying it's all TIF and all this and all that. That is a $100 million hole they've got to fill.
Yeah, it doesn't.
That don't fill with
TIF.
It
doesn't matter where it comes from.
That doesn't come from TIF. That comes from a money shitting donkey that is the taxpayer.
Yeah,
but yeah. Again, credit to Stewart for screenshotting all his stuff to use against him.
And again, I have no problem with it if that's what the city of Cincinnati wants to do. But I have a problem with the hypocrisy of that one guy.
You know,
and there are others, but mostly
it was
one guy. And again, I get you're proud of your team, you'll back them, and you know we did the same. I mean, you know, again, there's certain points where you say enough's enough, but. When your exact points that you're using against us, your guys are doing
fuck
verbatim.
It's even worse because Linder does have the money.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
But you know what? I'm not going to dog on San Antonio's bid. I'm not really apart from 120 degrees summer weather in Phoenix. I'm not really going to dog on their bid. I'm not going to dog on San Antonio because they weren't dogging on us. I don't want any fan to feel how Stewart felt.
I don't want any fan
apart from that troll twat in Cincinnati. Apart from that one guy.
Yeah, and you know what? The thing that bothers me the most, and this is the internet, so this happens. He mouths off, but as soon as we start using, blocks everybody.
Oh, yeah. He couldn't take it.
You know what?
Could not take it.
You know what? If you're going to be that kind of mouthy guy, you stand
up
behind
to it,
your
yeah.
words, man.
Yeah, coward,
I'll
man.
Be, just... I'll be the first to say there's a lot of times that I'm an asshole. But if I am and I say something out of line... Okay, I said it.
Yeah.
You know.
That and I also want to give a little bit of stick to the Tampa fan saying, yeah, we're doing it with private money. You're starting with an $80 million public stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're adding $80 million to upgrade it.
Yeah.
If we had a public stadium that existed in St. Louis, Kavanaugh and Edgerly were going to add $95 million to upgrade it.
Yeah.
Right.
So... You can say you're doing it with private money, but you're starting with a publicly owned base.
It's when you have that kind of foot up on the competition,
right.
you're not in the
props
same.
To him for not asking for more money, but it's not like we're starting even, and if he had to start from
but
scratch,
the thing
I don't know if he could do it.
The thing is with Tampa, they had a vote.
Yep.
You know, they had a vote, and that's the way the cookie crumbled, and we had a vote, and it was what it was. So, you know, I think in Cincinnati, they're going to try and push this through in committee and
into Kentucky,
which again is fine. I whatever Cincinnati decides to do, I mean, there's a case to be made for, you know, Kavanaugh was dumb for letting it go to a vote. I mean, he wanted to do the right thing. He wanted to give the citizens the right. But I think
the right thing was the worst way to ensure success.
I think he could have greased some palms and got it done through the back channels. I'm glad he didn't, you know, and we're living with the outcome. But again, I don't wish Cincinnati ill.
But if the outcome is like Wednesday night, I'm all right with it.
I will take that every time.
All right, let's get to some questions. The first four questions I said were kind of funny. They were kind of all the same. So I'm just going to read them, and then we can respond to all four of them at the same time.
It is not a sandwich. A hot dog is not a sandwich.
Yeah, none of that shit. All right. Da-da-da-da-da. I had my phone open, and then it closed. Here we go.
Good pod.
Here we go. We're professionals. Oh, hey, while I'm just scrolled past it, shout out to the Luligan 3v3 team.
Oh, yeah.
Another tournament this weekend in this god-awful heat. They won their division, the top division, the gold division, and represented well.
Those boys kill it in everything they're at, man.
They rule.
It is amazing. And you know, Noel had her son there. I was giving him stick about his little cheesy mustache.
Yeah.
But you know what? If you guys keep winning like this, you can rock that little porn stash thingy you want, little man.
That's right. All right. Jim Sullivan, Pat Ryan, Matt Hutchinson, and Matt Johnson all pretty much asked the same thing. I'm going to kind of read through them here. Against Bethlehem, the team seemed completely uninterested in even playing. 3 days later against the Fire, they gave 110% and left everything on the field. If they played like that, they'd win in the league. Pat Ryan, without the Open Cup wins, we only have one road win. Would this team that showed up Wednesday please show up against the rest of the league. Preki wanted a team. This is Hutchinson. Preki wanted a team with the right mentality. He brought in guys he knew, the league veterans. We've seen flashes of that mentality in the start of the season and in the Open Cup, but it doesn't seem to be there for the rest of the games. And Matt Johnson, does it piss you off, the difference in the effort between league yes. games and the effort in the Fire game?
Yes. Short answer there to Matt Johnson, yes.
Yeah. And, I mean, they're basically all the same thing, and we've talked about it. It's the Jekyll and Hyde nature of this team, and they need to get it sorted.
It's go time.
Yeah.
It's go time now.
And I mentioned it on the last pod. I think they've used up all their free, you know.
Gimmies.
Yeah.
The players coming back. The players are healthy now, aside from Mirko and Milan. And we know Mirko's on the mend. He's running now.
Yep.
Yeah, so on Instagram, he was put a training video. He's training. This yeah. isn't like rehab. This is...
I think he's still a couple weeks away from game time, but...
But everyone else has come back. Plava's yeah. back. Dalgard's back. Dragon's back.
Jeremy did mention that Milan's recovering well from his surgery. Didn't give me a timetable or anything, but everything went well with his surgery, so...
He's not even told us what surgery it was.
Yeah. I think we're guessing it was hernia-related or abdomen-related.
There was something said, in mind you... Google Translate had to do the translation for me, but there was something on Instagram said where he was replying to a friend, and groin hernia. Google wasn't the right. best translation.
But the players coming back now. We're getting way healthier than we were 6-7 weeks ago. It's go time. Yes. You know, we're a good team. Let's go show it.
Yes. So all of those things you guys just said. Yes. The next question, Petrillo, atmosphere was electric on Wednesday and all around the stadium too, not just the Lilligan section. We need to have more of that more often. I totally agree.
Difficult when there's only 4 home games in 44 months.
And difficult when the team plays like they did the second half of the Bethlehem game.
Yeah, I mean, yep.
If they're given their all, it's a lot easier for our drummers to keep going. It's a lot easier for the capos to keep yelling, and it's a lot easier for us standing there watching it to get into it. So,
we beat Bethlehem to death
But just like the players feed off of our energy, we feed off the players'
absolutely.
Energy.
And when they get nervous, we get nervous, yeah. and we get more nervous, and they get more nervous, and it's a ever-decreasing
and when
circle.
And when their heads hang down, our heads hang down. So,
But when they turn and run at teams, especially like last Wednesday, and go after it, then we're all about that, and we will back them to the hilt.
Mike Baldridge wants to know, does anyone know why Dax was going nuts when he got subbed off in that Chicago game? My only thing could be thinking, he's probably thinking I'm supposed to be one of the best midfielders in MLS, and they've made me useless. I mean,
he's a gamer.
He didn't, but he didn't get much out of that game.
Yeah.
I mean, really, he should be one of the best midfielders in the country right now. I mean, he's on that U.S. bubble. He's yeah. sometimes in, sometimes out, and he didn't do anything special that game.
Mm-mm, no.
So he was probably, we were probably getting in his head just like Zeusy.
You had to come off the stadium just to get out of Dragon's pocket.
So I don't know, but I suspect it was disappointment. That was why Dax was so mad.
And he was complimentary after the game,
yes,
as well
was.
Too. So I tend to think that probably is the case.
Yeah. Michael Decker, Solignac's goal was one of the best ever scored against us. I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was perfectly flicked.
You give him 50 touches, he's not going to do that but 3-4 times.
It happened, I just went, damn.
We all just were slack-jawed. It's like, all right, I have to give it up to the guy, but fuck.
I've got to be honest. Who asked that question? Mike? What?
Mike Baldridge.
Was he at the Tulsa game in preseason when a guy lobbed us from 40 yards?
Yeah,
but see, the thing is with those, they happen that they're opportunistic. It's not necessarily a great goal because of the skill. It's about the opportunity. This one was, I know exactly where.
This was kind of like Irv's goal where he just bent it perfectly and hit that crossbar. And you know what I mean? Yeah. This was just like.
But off of a flick.
It was a perfect, weird side flick.
Watching the replay, it's goal scorers practice those kind of things. I want you to sit here and just drive 20 balls at me so I can practice this touch.
I don't, changing the subject slightly, I don't want to turn it into a goalie debate, but how good was Grimace on Wednesday?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
The kid's solid.
Yeah.
The kid is everything I want in a goalie right now.
And he
apart from Ginger.
And he's oozing the confidence that the other guys are picking up on right now. It's the rising tide lifts all boats. Yep. He's
doing really well. I was really impressed with him.
Definitely.
This question,
man of the match, no less.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. This question is for Matt Bird, just because he already answered it tonight. Matt David, do we play up/down to our competition?
Absolutely.
I think we do.
And it's got to stop.
Yes, we need to play our game regardless of who we're playing against. And Preki has said those exact words. Let's do it.
I do think we take our foot off the gas when we have a perceived lesser opposition.
Yes.
Bethlehem.
Stuart wants to know, Stuart Hultgren, when will the name change for Scott Gallagher to St. Louis FC Academy happen? That's going down in August. The Illinois and Missouri sides are merging, and at least all the select teams are becoming St. Louis FC Academy. Now, I don't know about the entire organization, if it's changing its name from Scott Gallagher, this is just the academy teams.
I think this was announced actually a few months ago, but kind of went under the radar with everything else that was happening.
August is the official timeline for that. Yeah.
So, I think it's a great thing. It shows that path to pro, you know, going up through the PDL to USL.
Yeah. Jim Bellinger wanted to know an injury update. Well, we already kind of talked about it. Mirko, there was video of him training today. That is, to me, big. I think he is going to be a definite impact on this team, not only on the field for his play, but his leadership. And Milan is doing well. We don't know, but I think we're a couple weeks out from Mirko. So
I'm really excited to get Milan back because I know what I'm going to get with Mirko.
Yeah.
I've not really seen much of Milan.
I'm very high on him from what I've seen.
I've not seen enough of him to know what I'm going to get. It's like a...
He's a disruptor. He's big. He's, you know, we talked about moving David up there, but he's got that big frame. He's a target. He runs like there's no end, you know. Even if he's not putting balls on the goal, he just is a disruptive force up there.
He creates opportunity for other people as well.
Right.
That's
whether it's Angulo or Valeski playing off of him.
And Valeski had said that, you know, he was disappointed to see the man go down, that they were kind of getting something going. So, you know, that tells you when another player sees the potential and is disappointed in that injury. You know, admittedly, Milan's possibly taken away Valeski's time. And for him to say, oh, it sucks because I think he had some potential, that tells you he's got something going on.
Paperwork Ninja wants to know, how many points from the next three games? Who we've got Cincinnati next. Then is it Red Bull,
and then Rochester, and then Charlotte,
okay. Then Charleston.
Okay, so let's just say the next three from Cincinnati, Red Bull, and Rochester. How many points do we need out of those three games?
We need to beat New York Red Bull.
Yep.
Absolutely, comprehensively, they are garbage. They've been garbage this year, and we should have beat them more than the 3-2 that we did at home. I wish we were playing New York before Cincinnati.
Yeah,
I do as well.
But I want to say, there's no reason we can't get 9 points. There's no reason we can't. And I know you say we don't want them to win we don't expect them to win every game.
I think it's a minimum of 5, but I'd be happy with 7 out of those 3 games.
I was thinking minimum of 6.
Yeah.
At 1-7 because I think
if we lose on Saturday, the pressure's on to get them 6.
Yes.
Because there's no mistake.
But if we lose on Saturday, definitely I think it goes up.
Yeah, that's exactly it, because again, like you said, Red Bull we need to take. And quite honestly,
Rochester should be a good game.
I mean, be fair, last 5, they've won 3, tied 2.
Yeah, Rochester should be on a positive swing. Out of those 3, I think we need to beat Red Bull, and we need to at least get a draw from Rochester and Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's fair enough, but I want – Rochester's at home.
Yeah.
And
no, I agree.
And that's the thing. That's where I'm saying that's why it needs to be a win because we're at home.
If we stole a win at Cincinnati and we steal a win in New York, takes a little pressure off, and then I think the 9 is possible.
Yeah.
But if we're coming gripping because we've lost one of those two and maybe drawn one, then we're back to where we started.
The Rochester wins, right? The Rochester wins. There was a good win that they had against Tampa. Solid win against Tampa. Yeah. They beat Cincinnati, but Cincinnati rotated a bunch of players before they played Crew, so it wasn't a full-strength Cincinnati team. And the other win was against Richmond, and Richmond had just turgid. You know, so... But the Bob Lilly up there in Rochester's got them back to the 1-0 to Rochester style. Right. But...
Well, that's the thing about Rochester coming in. They're not going to be easy to take goals off of.
No,
so,
not at all.
So we've got to do a better job of creating chances and finishing those chances, because I could very easily see him coming here for a 0-0 and bunkering down and just taking everything we've got and just
trying to weather the storm.
And
but
being,
here's the thing.
Being happy
if we win on Saturday, if we somehow make it all work and everything clicks and we get a win on Saturday and then we go to New York and win, if we get a draw against Rochester, there's your 7 points.
And,
you know.
But again,
but they got to find their scoring boots, because goals are going to be hard to come by against a team like Rochester.
They're going to, but that's the thing. You start to look down the schedule, it doesn't get any easier. Yeah.
But I can't believe I just said, you know, hopefully we go there on Saturday and get a win, because we're playing Cincinnati, man. It's a rough old game.
They're a bit up and down like we are.
They are a bit, but they're still on their day.
So I was going to say, well, Bethlehem beat them, but hell, Bethlehem beat us.
And they Bethlehem went to New York and beat New York.
There you go. So Tony Flores wants to know, how do we keep the new fans that showed up, the 20 to 30% that filled that park Wednesday night, how do we get them to come back? Honestly, I think that game itself was the best advertisement for what we can do on our day.
God,
now
the break is going
to
kill us.
But it's up to the team to keep marketing, keep selling. I think they did some advertising for that Open Cup game, and they did get a good walk up, and they did, you know, sell it out convincingly.
This is the second game on KPLR too. It can't be another 4-0 like
no,
the first one.
No, definitely not.
We got to have a better showing on the TV.
And you made a statement there too. The walk-up. Mm-hmm. Sorry, got totally distracted for a moment. The walk-up has been amazing.
Yeah.
But it's a terrible thing for the team, because you're sitting there not knowing what to expect, not knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the fans start buying in advance, but that seems to just not be the way it works this year.
And I do think that for the Open Cup, we did a lot of promoting it word-of-mouth style. I think... a lot of people asked their friends to come to that game. That was the game to come see.
Yeah.
Yep.
Again, we go to Cincinnati and we go to New York. If we get two wins and the team's a little bit, you know, on the go, then I think we have to, again, ask our friends to come. Ask, you know, tell people, advertise it on Facebook. It shouldn't all come down to our marketing, but it is. I mean, the team has to do their advertising, but... I think we just have to keep telling people it's worth it to come out. And now the team has to give us a reason for us to tell people it's worth it to come out.
That's all it comes down to. So, it cannot be on us anymore at this point. It has
but
to
anybody,
be the results.
But anybody who came out to that Chicago Fire game as their first experience for St. Louis FC.
I have seen so much positivity.
They had to have a good time.
Away.
Even in the loss, I think the team acquitted themselves well.
There was somebody when we were walking back to the tailgate, and I overheard two groups in front of, or two families, and I heard the one dad say to the other, "We're minor league, and we just ran with a pro team.
Yeah,
wow, this is actually pretty awesome. When non fans are here seeing this and saying that, there's something to be said that." The possibility is there.
When that dad buys tickets for his family to come out to the next game, we can't shit the bed like we did against Bethlehem.
Yeah,
and that's,
absolutely.
Because one afternoon in the sun watching that shit, and he may not come back.
Ever.
So,
until there's a very long winning streak going on.
So we do our part. The team's got to do their part too. And that does include, like I said, that does include some more advertising. I think they've got to bite the bullet, and they've got to do some commercials. They've got to do...
It seems to work when they do.
Yeah. T-Flow wants to know, should St. Louis FC build a new facility out of the floodplain? Now that, you know, the MLS thing is kind of over and we've had the second flood, I don't know, T-Flo. It's easy to say when it's not my $10 million.
Find me 100 acres.
Yeah, they're,
for free.
I mean, they're going to need a big area, and it's not cheap to build even a USL-sized stadium.
There's a nice plot of land at Chateau and Grand that Foundry we're going to use.
Yeah.
No, I in a perfect world, yes. But right now, right here, right now, I can't see it.
And they won't do it if they're getting 3,500 people to come to a game.
Nope.
They're going to have to see some money coming in before they outlay any more money.
And here's
and that goes for stadium improvements, too. They've significantly enhanced the stadium the last 2 years. I think they're still, you know, planning cautious expansion and upgrades. But when you talk about building a new facility, realistically, it's $10 to $15 million to build a USL-level 10,000-seat stadium.
And that's... That's just
the stadium. That's not the land.
That's not the land, and that's not the additional facilities that go into it. Things like practice fields.
Well, you could say maybe they keep the soccer park where it is and just build a dedicated stadium with parking for the main thing, but it's not going to happen tomorrow.
And again, it all comes back to land. Whenever you see these ideas, when there's Maryland Heights, they're building a soccer thing out there.
Yeah.
You look at Lou Fuse's property out in Maryland Heights, anything like that, guess where they are? Floodplains.
Yeah.
Because that's the only widely open flat spaces in this town that are readily available.
And to get land that's cheap enough to do this, it's not going to be in the city. It's going to be in the county.
You're going to go to Earth City. You're going to go out
wherever you put it,
it's going to be further away from the city than Fenton is.
Right.
It's going to be less accessible. Because we all make fun of Fenton not being in the city. Okay, we don't. The foreign teams do. Yeah. But all in all, soccer park is accessible. Highway 44, 270, 55.
The convergence of two highways, yeah.
And really, it's the one that's in between 40 and 55. So really, it's about as middle as you can get for that amount of property.
I will also say it also depends if it floods again next year. Yeah.
Maybe that pushes up that time too.
Yeah. I mean, we talked to Pat a little bit about it. He said, again, the Corps of Engineers said this isn't supposed to happen. We know there's some issues with levees being built too high upriver that caused some of this. So I don't know. I don't think we're quite to the point where they're ready to spend 10 to 15 to 20 million on a new facility just yet.
No.
Can't see it. Not for a long, long time.
And last question of the night, PT, which is Ryan, does the stuff for Real Life St. Louis, does good,
fantastic work,
good match previews, and always gives the podcast a plug. We're very happy about that. So you should read Real Life St. Louis. He wanted to know, Academy kids, are we going to see some more of them by the end of the year? I think yes. I think Jack Mahar is with Aiden Stanley. They're getting some good experience in the 18s. And with the U.S. under 18s, that is, and I think Mateo looked good in the preseason. So it would not surprise me that when the PDL season is over, some of these kids that have gotten some time with the PDL will get some time. Matt, you've seen the PDL team a couple times. What do you think?
They were all right on Sunday against the Lions. The Lions are a good team.
Are having a great season.
I only saw the first half, but it was a bit of a ding dong match.
That's things English people can say, and we just go. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I have no idea what he means by a ding dong match.
It was a Twinkie of a match.
Yes, I like ho hos, but go ahead.
Crocodiles, bitches.
It was a really good game, and.
Speaking of which, they'll be playing Wednesday evening, if you're listening to this Wednesday, 5:30 at the Collinsville Gallagher Complex. So that'd be right after work. If you want to head over there, you can see the Lions and St. Louis FC U23 take off again.
Also, on Sunday at 7 o'clock, Fire and Ice play. I think they play Dayton Dutch Lions or Cincinnati Dutch Lions, one of the Lions. And they played FC Pride of Indianapolis last weekend maybe, and absolutely tore them to shreds in the second half. It was a close game, but you know what Lindsay's like. She'll have her team as fit as fiddles, and as soon as the FC Pride legs had gone, they tore them to shreds. They are a good team.
Yeah, I will say definitely if you have a kid that plays soccer, obviously, if you have a young girl, but even if you have a young boy, go see the Fire and Ice games. Lindsay plays an exciting brand of soccer, and you can really see the teams work and the teams build. Mm-hmm. It's fun to watch the build up to their goals because you can see them coming. You can see what they're doing out there.
And they play at Belleville West High School, and they're
it's really
team.
Just right across the river. It's not that far.
No,
Belleville is.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of when they played in Columbia. No, now they've moved up to Belleville.
But still, it's an extra five miles.
Yeah, it's not that far.
But still, great, great team. Go watch them. They will impress you.
And we mentioned it, Lions, St. Louis Lions, they play out in Cottleville, kind of out in St. Charles.
The Cottleville New Camp.
they're having an excellent season. Those of us who have been around a while spent many a summer afternoon out there in Cottleville in the heat. But it's good to see Tony Glavin and Jim Shipley and Johnny Brown and those guys have a good team.
We want them to keep doing well because we want next year to play them in the second round of the Open Cup.
That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it just? So keep going, Lions. Pulling for you so we can beat you next year in the Open Cup.
Yep. So if St. Louis FC is got a weekend off, just check the calendars. See if either the St. Louis FC PDL team's playing or the Lions in the PDL or Fire and Ice. All teams worthy of your time.
And not only that, but chances are you're going to see somebody that's going to end up somewhere. You know, I mean, you know, in our time, we've seen, you know, Noah Fazekas, who's up at Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
He's upsetting people up in Michigan.
Yeah, he's got a mouth on him.
And he's got his own little fan club up there that follow him.
Yeah.
Player, though. Jamie Lovegrove, he's down in Dallas now. He's playing not only for the Sidekicks indoor, but the bio whatever outdoor team. Jamie Lovegrove, Lamar Odom used to play for the Lions. I mean,
Tommy Heineman,
who is now with the Deltas. In San Francisco. Tony Glavin's produced a lot of good players, and Lindsay's got her hands on some young women that may be NWSL bound before it's all over.
I agree.
I believe she's had two or three recently make it up
get
there.
Drafted.
And then there's been a good stream of them going through. Yeah. That's the hard part with her is that she has so many top flight players.
Yeah,
it's actually hard to keep track of their accomplishments that, you know, when they...
And to be fair, the press on women's soccer is worse than it is for minor league men's soccer, even. Trying to follow these girls is sometimes difficult.
Follow them on Twitter, because Fire and Ice on Twitter, they did a great beginning of the season. They did a great little run-through of each player.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you start just seeing this pedigree.
Yeah.
You know, player of the conference, player of this, player of this. And it's like, oh, shit.
And Lindsay plays an exciting game of soccer, so it's good to watch that. So, tons of live local soccer for you to go watch. It doesn't all have to be EPL or La Liga or, you know, whatever MLS, whatever leagues you follow on TV. That's great.
Confederations Cup.
You can always do that, but please.
Arayaga too.
Support your live local team, whatever team that is. It doesn't have to be St. Louis FC. It could be the Lions. It could be Fire and Ice. It could be the St. Louis PDL team. So go do it. If you're over there on the east side, it's real easy to go check out those Collinsville games and Fire and Ice. And if you're in St. Charles, easy to go pick up a Lions game. So do it.
I live in St. Charles, and I went to the Fire and Ice.
There you go.
And if you're in Crystal City, it's not easy to get to
any. It's not easy to get to any of them, but I always have fun whenever I do. So, except for sometimes on those afternoon games, that sun is just brutal.
Or against Bethlehem Steel.
Well, it was an afternoon game, so don't do
there
that.
There it is.
Maybe don't we do should that. Do what Ottawa did and play at 10 o'clock in the morning. What was that about?
It happens in this league. Somebody will, I'll just be in my work day and somebody will be talking at like 11 o'clock in the morning. Oh, there's a strike. And I'm like, who the fuck can go see these games?
Well,
I mean, really, if St. Louis FC had a game at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, nobody could go. We're working.
You got 7,000 kids there. But it was all kids.
But yeah, and Ottawa, and this isn't a two-team. Ottawa has a fan base.
They have their own stadium.
And they have a hardcore fan base. I get doing stuff to attract the kids, but Stony Monday Riot or whatever their supporters group is up there, they're a good group. I would be livid if our team was doing a midday game.
And like I said to Bird, you know, like if it was like a holiday week, you know, like, if the 4th of July was on a Thursday and you did a Friday 1 o'clock game, a businessman special, so to speak, great. That's fine. Don't get any idea, St. Louis FC, because that would be fucking horrible.
That's right.
But I get it. You know, I get
the
concept.
And if they do, they better fucking have free parking. You know what I'm saying?
No, because Fenton Park will be having things going on.
There we go. So,
but you know, you can't have that.
I don't get it. A two team I get because they got nobody coming anyway.
Oh, you got 100 people instead of 150.
Yeah, when Toronto 2 does that or when, you know, Vancouver Whitecaps Academy team does that, yeah, I get that. But not Ottawa. Ottawa's a good team. They draw well. They draw 5,000-6,000 people. Why would you do that to yourself? I didn't get it at all.
Maybe they realized that the game was going to be shit, which it was, and they play. I don't know. I have no idea why they would do that.
Speaking of which, you guys, when I was like, oh, okay, there's a game on tonight. Oh, it's Bethlehem versus Harrisburg? Yeah, I'm not turning on the TV for that.
Pass.
I was like, I'm not even wasting the energy to turn on the TV.
Who's going to watch that?
To be fair, we didn't beat Bethlehem, so.
Yeah. Bethlehem. More people will listen to this podcast than tune into that game.
That's not saying much, based on our... We're doing well.
We got good reviews.
But you know what? Seriously, thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for, you know.
Yeah. Go rate us and review us on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever.
How often, you know, as much as we, you know, we got to do this again. What are we going to talk about? You'll get the new person that walks up to you at the tailgate or sends a tweet today just saying, hey, I like listening. This has been great. Thank you for, you know, saying what needs to be said.
Wednesday night, a lot of people came up to us at the tailgate and were like, thank you for that Bethlehem pod. Yeah.
Did they really? Good.
Yeah.
Really good.
No, because, you know, they, like the guy tweeted today, they enjoy knowing other people feel the same way they do.
And we have always been proud of the fact that we've tried to stay independent. You know, yes, we do have a direct line to the team that a lot of people don't get to have. And yes.
And to be fair, you know, Tom Strunk thanked us for our honest pod. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's not good for him to hear it. I'm sure it doesn't feel good to rehash that, but he appreciates the honest feedback. So.
As Pat Barry said, if you guys stop being passionate, that's when I get worried.
Yeah.
So,
but when they go balls to the wall on Saturday and beat Cincinnati, we'll be evanescent in our praise.
That's right.
So, you know, it swings around
about. That podcast next Tuesday night will be amazing because we'll be happy again.
That's right. Bird will be back from Cincinnati, and he will tell us how great it was and how great it was to ride home after a win.
I like that idea.
I do see us win away. I've seen 3 wins away, so.
What's that about hope?
Yeah.
But seriously, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for rating and reviewing. And I think not this podcast, but one in the future, we're going to try to get a special guest, and maybe we'll try to set the record for the most number of downloads for a lower league pod.
Maybe like the end of season, a big blowout. And
yeah, maybe somebody who's, you know, equally good at indoor and outdoor soccer.
If you are a...
Like Steve Petcher.
If you're new to this team, and you want to find out about the history of the team in the first season, there's a book on Amazon. I got kids put through college.
That's
guys.
Right.
He's not going to Merrimack at that rate.
Hey, change the names, and that book is just as applicable to this season as it was that first season.
I should just do that.
Just update it with names.
Second edition.
No, do the find and replace. You know, find.
What was the one game where?
Find Brian Gall, replace with.
What was the one game where the entire chapter was just fuck? You know, that's what it needs to be again for Bethlehem.
That was Bethlehem's chapter. So thank you all for listening, and recommend us to a friend.
And subscribe, rate us.
Subscribe, follow us on Twitter, and you know what to do.
You're adults.
Just don't bring fucking quarters to a game. Shut up, dickhead. They're wearing steel, it's bright and